we're going to have is he's something special to me, and he really don't know it, but I've been following this kid since he's been playing football when he was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I actually got to coach him for 1 year, and then he moved on up ahead of the age group that I was coaching. But Alan Williams, if you want to, come on up. Alan, I'll tell you a little bit about him. He started off playing Little League here in Pierce County, went and played high school football here in Pierce County, and then had a change of heart and went to Applin. Y'all believe that? But he made up for it when he went to UGA. So, what's your story, Alan?
Oh, sing on. Can y'all hear me?
Not yet.
All right, so what's up, y'all? Like Mr. Mike said, my name's Alan Williams. Met a few of y'all before. I know some of y'all from growing up. Some of y'all watched me grow up. And I'm very blessed to be here and to share my story with you guys today. So, like Mr. Mike said, my story starts out, I'm from Blackshear, Georgia, born and raised here all the way till I was 16. And I had a really good upbringing. I have a mom and a dad who care a lot for me. They gave me anything I needed, not necessarily everything I wanted, but I tried to get everything I wanted from them, but it was a little more strict than that. So, I grew up in the church. I went to Shady Grove Baptist Church there on 203. I had a really good upbringing. Right. I was always good at one thing, and that was football. As you can see, I'm a big guy. Helps me out a lot. It don't hurt, that's for sure. So growing up, that's what I was always known by. It's like, oh, that's Alan, the kid that plays football. And that has followed me for the rest of my life up to this point. But back to my original story, growing up, like Mr. Mike said, my parents got divorced when I was 15, about to turn 16, and I moved to Applin County with my dad and started playing football over there. And that was the first time in my life to where I felt my identity wasn't wrapped up in who Alan is as a person. It was wrapped up in who is Alan as a football player, right? I got some pretty nasty texts and calls from people that I played with, here in Pierce County, and I was like, man, do they not care about the absolute turmoil that I'm going through right now in my life? My parents just got divorced. I don't know what's going on. I'm a 16-year-old kid, right? And at that time, I was like, man, if all everybody sees me as a football player because I'm good at football, that's what I'm going to be, right? These gnats are killing me. I'm living up above the fall line now, and I don't hardly get them up there. But yeah, my identity got wrapped up into who was Alan as an athlete, right? And that was easy for me at the time because I was good at football. Like I was like, okay, I'll ride with this. It's doing me pretty well right now. I started getting recruited a little bit in 9th and 10th grade and more on when I got into 10th and 11th and 12th grade. But so like Mr. Mike said, I continued to play football at the University of Georgia. And once again, my identity was just so wrapped up in who I was as a football player. As a kid, when I was in high school, I didn't party, I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, I didn't do none of that. I played football, I went home, I went to church. I was an all-American kid, you know what I mean? I never did anything wrong, never got in any trouble. And that was my life, and I was happy about it. I worked out, played football, and went home. Sounds like a good life to me, right? And then I get to college. And up there, I wasn't the best football player within 50 miles anymore. I was one of the worst ones within a very close radius, you know what I mean? So I was like, man, what is going on? I felt very out of place, you know what I mean? I was like, man, what is this about? And I started struggling a little bit with my mental health because, like I said, my whole life I identified as a football player. That's who I was. I was the best at it. And I wanted to show you that I was the best at it, right? And up there I got involved with some friends who are still good friends of mine to this day. But they like to drink and smoke and party and do all that stuff. And I got wrapped up in that. So my freshman year of college, I got redshirted my freshman year. Didn't play at all. It was just a practice dummy for most of it. But after my first summer in college, all I wanted to do was play football, drink, and party. That was it. I didn't care about school. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about anything. I wanted to play football, work out, and party. And at the time, that was a good life for me, right? Like, I had a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie to you and say it was not a good time at the time, right? And I continued that life for the next 2.5 years. I started getting a little bit of trouble. I got caught with marijuana up there and drinking underage and doing all this other stuff. None of that's really that important. But I started having consequences, right? I was like, man, these consequences aren't that bad. Like, if this is all that's going to happen to me for me doing this stuff, I'm going to keep doing it. You know what I mean? And so I kept on. So my freshman year, we play in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. We beat TCU. Next year, we go up. I'm kind of starting to climb my way up in the depth chart. I ain't on scout team anymore, but I'm not high above it. And we go on and we play in the national championship and the SEC championship and the Rose Bowl and all that good stuff. And I was like, man, my life cannot get any better than this, right? Like, I'm living my dream. My dream from a child was to play football at the University of Georgia and be good at it. And I was doing that, right? But like I said earlier, I had all this extracurricular stuff going on. My grades were shot, not good. Just good enough to where I could keep playing football, and that was it. And all I did was try to glorify my image, right? I was like, look at me. Look at what I've done in my life. Look at how good I am, right? And then my junior year comes around, and I break my arm in practice, right? And then I go into the hospital, and I have a surgery on it, and I come out, and I have MRSA in my arm, which, if y'all don't know, it's like staph infection on steroids. And they keep me in the hospital for about another month, right? I have 5 more surgeries. And before my last surgery, I remember the doctor walking in, and he draws this little line on my arm up here. I'm like, what is that? He said, there's about a 25% chance you come out of the surgery without an arm. It's like, man. What? Like, what is going on? Like, I mean, all right, like, do whatever you got to do to save my life, but this is crazy. And I come out of that last surgery, still got my arm, obviously. But the doctor comes in, and he's like, Alan, you won't ever play football again. It was a little more drawn out than that, but that's what I remember. It was the fact that I'll never step on a football field with a helmet on again. Right, and like I told y'all earlier, my entire identity was football. That's all I knew. That's all I knew about myself was that I was good at football, and that's who Alan is. If you ask anybody who Alan is, he's that kid that played football at Georgia. Right, and I lost that, and I had no idea what to do. Right, but I know when I was in that hospital, they were giving me this pain medicine through my IV, and I remember after he told me that. After he told me I wouldn't play football anymore, I remember them pushing this medicine in my IV, and I'm like, man, I kind of forget about all this extra stuff going on right now. I just know that I feel good, and I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do with my life. I was like, man, I like that. You know what I mean? I really like that. And that kind of set the ball rolling for the next few years of my life, which did not look good, right? So I get out of the hospital and I have a prescription for opioid pain medication. And I realize more and more that I'm not taking this stuff for my physical pain. I'm taking it for my emotional pain and my mental pain, right? And I was not having a good time, right? It started off where one pain pill would get me through the day. And then it went to 2 and 4. And the 8, and it just kept going up, right? And during this time, I'd moved back home. I dropped out of college. I was just hurting mentally, right? Like, I didn't know who I was. I had no identity anymore, right? And because I'd strayed so far away from God, I didn't know how to get back into it. And honestly, I was a little mad at God. I was like, man, how could you do this to me? How could you take this thing that I love and that is my identity away from me? And I was mad. I was mad at God. And I wasn't ready to reconcile that relationship yet. So it goes on, and pain pills turn into heroin. I start using heroin daily. I'm losing jobs. I'm not holding down a job. I'm not doing anything but running around in town there and trying to get dope. That's where my life was, right? And then September 5th of 2020 rolls around. I'm still not doing well. My parents had tried to get me some help at this point, but I didn't want it. I didn't see how my life could ever get any better. Right? I thought I was a lost cause. I didn't think I was going to live another year. I didn't want to live another year. Right? But September 5th, 2020 rolls around, and my best friend from Baxley, he ends up being shot and killed. I'm like, man, what is going on? Like, if this is the life that God's given me, I don't want it anymore. I don't want any of this, right? Why would something like this happen to me? I've never done anything but try to be good at sports and be nice to other people. I don't have a mean bone in my body, right? I've never hurt anybody purposefully. Like, I just want to be okay. That's all I wanted in my life, was to be okay. I wanted to be able to sit in a room by myself and not hate who I was. I wanted to be able to look in a mirror and say, I love you. And I couldn't do that. I could not do that. Right? So about a month after that happens, I come to this point where I'm like, man, I really just don't want to be here anymore. I don't want this life that I have. And I don't see it ever getting any better. So I decide to attempt to take my own life. I intentionally overdose. Obviously, it didn't work because I'm standing here. But I remember waking up in that hospital, and I see my mom and my dad, who I told you earlier had been divorced. They didn't really talk to each other anymore at that point. But I see them at the end of my bed hugging and crying. And I look over, and I see my little brother and my little sister standing to the left of me crying. I'm like, man, how did I end up here? A year and a half, 2 years ago, I was playing football for my dream school. I had the best life I can imagine. And now I'm addicted to heroin and trying to take my own life? Like, what happened? And it seemed like it happened in the blink of an eye. Like, I had no idea what was going on. And I remember looking over at my brother, and he's crying. And I remember him saying to me, I just want my big brother back. And that broke me. That broke me. Because it was at that point that I realized, like, I'm not living life. I'm just existing, right? And there's no point in that. And I came to the conclusion in that hospital bed, I was like, all right, I'm going to get better, or the next time that I try this, I'm going to make sure I don't wake up from it. That was the point that I was at. There was no keep going down the same road that I was on. I was either going to get better or die. And I was perfectly okay with that, right? I wasn't scared of death anymore. I just know that I didn't want the life that I was living. Right? So I go and get help at this treatment center. And they tell me going in, they're like, yeah, you got to have to get better, you have to have some sort of God. I was like, I don't like that word. That's like a cuss word to me. I don't want to hear it. At that point in my life, it was. It's like, you start talking about God, I'm going to walk the other way. Right? Because I was mad. I was mad at God. And that treatment center, a great place, but I walked out of there and I returned to the life that I was living beforehand. Because I refused to reconnect with God. I refused. And I went down the same path again. That path was overdoses. That path was seeing my mama and daddy cry and worry about me at night. It was arrest, jail time. And I remember sitting in Pierce County Jail one night, and I called my mama, and I was begging her to come get me out of jail. And she would not come get me out of jail. And I start throwing this pity party, right? I'm like, God, why is this happening to me? Like, what have I done wrong? You know what I mean? Like, all I've ever wanted was to be okay. Like, I haven't done some great things while I was in my addiction, for sure, right? But the most thing I ever wanted was to be okay, right? And I remember my mom telling me, I remember it like it was yesterday. She's like, maybe you're going through this so you can help somebody else out when you get through it. I was like, Mom, I really don't want to hear that right now. I want you to come get me out of jail. That's all I want. You know what I mean? But those words stuck with me, right? Like, they stuck with me. And so I get out of jail and I end up going to treatment again. And I had been thoroughly whooped at this point. I was at the same point before, to where I was either going to get better or die. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll try this God thing again. Maybe I'll, I mean, I can, there's nothing that I'm going to lose from trying it out, right? So I go to treatment, and they start telling me about God, and I was like, kind of wince when you say it, but I'll try it out, right? And I just start trying, you know what I mean? And what trying looked like for me at that point was to get down on my knees in the morning and say, thank you for waking me up. And at night, before I went to bed, it was, thank you for letting me make it through this day. And that was all I had, right? That was all I had. And that kept me going, right? That's what has gotten me through till this day, right? But all I had at that point in my life was God. And as soon as I started that praying again, I was like, man, life's starting to get pretty good again. I can feel something happening. You know what I mean? I feel that hole in my heart that I was trying to fill with alcohol and drugs and women and gambling and sex, it was starting to get filled up, right? I was trying to fill a God-sized hole with outside things, right? And so from March 22nd of 2022, I haven't touched any substance since that day, right? And it's been a long road since then, right? Like, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I didn't turn into this, like, a deacon in the church or anything. But I try. You know what I mean? I wake up every morning and I thank God for waking me up. And I go to sleep every night thanking him for letting me get through that day.
That's right.
Right? And going back to what my mama told me when I was sitting in that jail cell up there in Pierce County Jail, she was like, maybe you're going through this so you can help other people. Right? And I found that calling. Right? So now I'm a therapist at a treatment center up in Reynolds, Georgia. I get to help. I get to tell people every day about how God changed my life. Right? I get to tell people every day that there is a way out of this hopeless hole that you're in. Right? And that is God.
That's right.
Right? There's no other way. There is no other way. You don't just go from that kind of life and be like, okay, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm just going to, you know, walk down the road or something. It doesn't work that way, right? You have to turn to God. I turned to God, and that's what saved my life. I went from this homeless junkie living out on the streets in Blackshear out there in Baxley and various other places to somebody that gets to tell people how God saved my life every day.
Yes.
And there is nothing else that I can be more thankful for than that, right? But yeah, that's the gist of my story, and I'm very glad you guys have me out here to share today. Thank y'all. I love y'all. God bless.
Yes, sir.